Who else does geek stuff who has a J name? Welcome to Geeks Without God with Molly Glover, Nick Glover, and Tim Wick.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
This week on Geeks Without God, pew, 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 it's Rogue One, a Star Wars story. We're going to spoil it, so don't listen if you haven't watched it.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Welcome to Geeks Without God. I am your host, Molly Glover, joined as always by my co-hosts, Nick Glover.
I am one with the Force, and the Force is with me.
And Tim Wick.
So am I.
You're with me?
You bet.
Cool.
And you're both with the Force, hot.
You're with the Force.
Yeah. It's a three-way.
And if you're not figuring it out yet, we are going to talk about Rogue One.
Rogue One.
So, spoilers ahead, all the way down, many spoilers.
The shit out of Rogue One.
Guys, if you haven't seen Rogue One, just turn this off, come back to it. We'll still be here.
There's time.
It's nothing, you're not missing out on that much,
trust
me.
But also, it's been out for a month. Why the fuck haven't you?
Yeah, why haven't you seen it? Yeah.
There's serious spoilers. We could potentially ruin this movie for you.
Yeah, it's true. All right.
This is a movie that shouldn't be ruined.
Now that they've stopped listening, and everyone who's listening has seen Rogue One, this movie was fucking great.
Yeah.
I didn't like it as much as Force Awakens, but that's not any negative comment.
It's a different movie.
I knew I wasn't going to like it as much, it's just my own personal tastes. I very much loved it. And thought that it lived up to 95% of the hype that I was given, and we'll get to that. I want to know just rapid fire. What was your favorite character, Tim?
Rapid fire favorite character, son of a bitch. the droid. What's his name?
K2SO.
K2SO.
Yeah.
K2SO. Yeah, that's a solid answer.
My favorite droid of all time.
It was a really good. Well, it's not. It didn't make me like any other droids less, but what I really appreciated was it was not like all the other droids in the Star Wars universe.
Yep.
They were like, you know, let's put in a droid. A droid is very Star Wars universe, but it wasn't, you know, a cute little droid like BB-8, and I love the fuck out of BB-8. And it wasn't the sort of Laurel and Hardy mix that you get with R2-D2 mm-hmm. and C-3PO.
Yeah.
Completely different character, and I really appreciated that.
Yeah. I agree with that. I thought K2SO was the best droid so far, honestly.
Stole every scene he was in,
and it wasn't in a way where I was like, oh my god, I get it. He's like, I felt sometimes a little bit with Hitchhiker. There's been comparisons made to Marvin the Depressed Robot.
Yeah, bullshit. Hitchhiker's Guide. Fuck that. No, that's
Marvin the Depressed Robot is very funny, but it's just not this. K2SO was funny in a way that felt very realistic.
Anybody that compares K2SO to Marvin doesn't know the Hitchhiker's trilogy. The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy well enough to understand what the fuck they're talking about.
More than complete five book trilogy.
Nick, rapid fire.
Krennic?
Yeah. Yeah, director Krennic was amazing.
Yeah.
Ben Mendelsohn played him, and I thought he had that perfect, that white cape was so good.
Yeah, the costume was great. The opening scene with him on whatever planet where Jin and her family are, through the entire movie, right into the end, I thought Krennic was great.
Yeah.
Krennic's scene with Vader is great. Like, they're all,
Krennic, so that opening scene with Jin and her family, when he's like,
with the Death Troopers.
Where he's saying to her dad, like, oh, where's your wife? It's like, oh, she's gone, took off, couldn't handle it, love it. And he's like, And he has this little smile curling his mouth, like, oh. Like I want to hear more about this lie. Like, you can tell he knows.
They've known each other for years.
Oh, yeah.
And they're old colleagues, friends.
Yep.
I mean.
And then where's the child? They have a child.
Yeah.
Find it. And her dad's face is just like, fuck, they know. Yeah. And like,
There's a lot in the visual guide to the movie that is not overtly stated.
Just like in Force Awakens.
Just like
in the visual guide adds a lot. I will say my rapid fire favorite character was Cassian Andor.
Oh yeah.
I loved Cassian. I thought he was I liked that he was like his relationship with K2SO is part of why I loved K2SO. Just just the whole like, just like shut up, do the thing. It was a little bit Han and Chewie.
Yeah.
In that way, it had that same kind of like bit, yeah. like old married couple, heterosexual life partner kind of a thing where it's like, oh my god, like our lives are tied together for better or for worse. This fucking bucket of bolts here, you know, and everything.
I'd watch a spy movie with Cat with him.
Yeah, yeah.
Like set before Rogue One.
And
it kind of have to be.
Yeah. And then like just to make me love him even more, there's been a thing going or a story going around this last week about he took his father to go see the movie, and his father like openly wept because took their father to see, and their father
the
Mexican father who was so like overcome with emotion to see someone with a fairly thick Mexican accent like being a hero and not being Mexican and not being
diversity of the cast in this movie was really impressive,
top notch.
Really impressive.
We were joking at work that like the continuity now is like a lot of white people, one black, or a lot of mixed, like a bunch of different races in the prequels, right? You got a good mix there.
Yep.
And then all of a sudden, everything gets super white, except for Lando Calrissian. And then there's this then everything gets really diverse. And then there's the everything gets real white for a while.
Yeah.
And then it gets even whiter for a little while at the very end of those.
The headcanon on that is great, because what people are saying is, of course, the Republic, the old Republic, was a diverse of thought and people organization of sentient beings, and then the Empire comes in and all the people of color disappear.
I have a problem with that, because then, the Empire only cares about human versus not human. They don't give a shit about skin color. There's no racism in the galaxy.
I know, but
based on skin color.
It fits so well.
It doesn't fit so well. That's the thing. It only fits so well in through an American lens.
But anyway. Rogue One.
Yeah.
Rogue One. All right. So, I thought that it had just a couple of faults, and I the main fault I saw with it that I'll start if you guys want to think about things that you found faulty. The main fault I found with it was that the previews for this movie featured multiple scenes that were not in the movie.
That is true.
And that to me is a cardinal sin. I find that to be the number one sin a movie makes. I am not kidding. There are two sins a movie can commit. Being boring.
Oh, yeah.
Just being boring. I don't care. Being boring. Like, if you're boring, why are you a movie? That is the worst
you're
thing a movie.
My time
literally. Like, if I'm not a little interested, a little bit, like,
And then the second bad movie is you can bitch about it.
Exactly. Yeah. And then the second sin a movie can do is if the preview shows scenes that aren't in the movie, because that to me is a bait and switch.
You are selling me
on a film I didn't get to see.
Now, I am going to defend it a little, because the trailer came out a long time ago and there were all sorts of recuts and reshoots that were going on.
That the stuff they changed is so huge, I don't understand.
But the people who put
it
together the trailer don't even know what they're doing.
Oh, I know. Believe me, I know, because so when we work on Rogue One stuff, until the movie came out, we had to have it on a secret server that only people who were working on those projects had access to. The other people in the office didn't even know the server existed. Or what its name was. We had to use thumb drives. We couldn't email each other anything. We couldn't use the words Rogue One or any character titles. We had to say things like Rebel Spy and Hero Vehicle and Villain Vehicle and Main Villain. We're not allowed to, even in inter-office emails, none of that is acceptable. So I can only imagine the people working with the trailers have a very similar, like, you know, like lockdown kind of thing. But they still could have... I don't know, man. It seems like if you put that in the trailer, you better have a fucking good reason for cutting it from the movie. And I can't think of any reason they cut the stuff they did. I don't understand. Like, stuff they cut. Jyn Erso in an Imperial uniform
She's
with all
in
those
the uniform.
Lights.
It's just the lights that aren't in the movie.
Okay.
She's in the uniform.
Okay, with the lights. Krennic on the beach walking through the fight.
Yeah.
The TIE fighter greeting Jyn Erso when she goes to do the comms thing at the antenna. The fucking back and forth with her and Mon Mothma, where Mon Mothma is like, you this accused of this and accused of that. What do you have to say for these charges? Like, it's a rebellion, isn't it? I rebel.
Yeah.
That's a line that I feel like cutting that is dumb. I don't know. That's the only fault I had with this movie was at the end of the movie, I felt a little robbed.
You were a little cheated because you wanted those
scenes. I felt a little cheated. Yeah,
right, fair enough. Yep. Okay, my least favorite part of the film, I think, was Uncanny Valley Peter Cushing.
Mm.
And it's not
because I didn't like having Tarkin in the film, but I felt I wanted his face less. Because when it was just there for a couple of seconds, it didn't bother me. When it was around longer, I really started to notice how it was CG.
Even his body movements looked weird, and that was a person.
And it wasn't, again, I liked having the character in the film. Yep. I think they could have done a lot with having the character turned away from the camera.
Or in a hologram.
If he'd been a hologram, you wouldn't have noticed any of it.
So that was my least favorite part of it. And to a lesser extent, even Uncanny Valley Princess Leia, because I knew it wasn't really Princess Leia and it didn't look quite right. And that could be, at least in part, because I have that Star Wars Episode 4, you know, A New Hope, Leia in my brain, and I've had it since I was 10 years old.
Yeah.
And that wasn't her. It wasn't quite her, and it bugged me a little.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, take that for what you will. But that did
just
bother me.
A brief interjection. You know, right now, Disney and Star Wars executives are meeting to talk about how the plan needs to change for Episode 9 because of Carrie Fisher's death. She had a major part to play in the movie.
Interesting. I feel like that's super spoilers. I didn't need to know that.
Oh, okay. Well, she finished all her filming for Episode 8.
That doesn't mean she didn't die in Episode 8, and now I know she didn't.
Well, okay, but
I'm just saying. To me, that's not...
My least favorite thing about Rogue One is a problem that is easily remediable, but I feel like because of... we're introduced to a number of characters that are all pretty great and diverse, and they all have backgrounds, and they all have cool aspects to them, and we won't get to see them again.
True.
Right, because so many of them die.
They all die.
They all die.
It's Dirty Dozen.
Did Jin die too?
No, it's worse. Yeah. It's worse than Dirty Dozen.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because Dirty Dozen,
every single member of the Rogue Squadron or Rogue One dies.
I couldn't remember. Yep. They just kind of show it vaguely, right?
She and Cassian die
together.
Yeah,
yeah.
As we already know, Rebels on Disney Channel takes place at about the same time as Rogue One, pre-New Hope.
Little
overlapping, maybe. But Saw Gerrera, who was in Clone Wars and in Rogue One, Saw Gerrera's in the next episode of Rebels.
Yes.
Before, in his current state of Rogue One. Yeah, well, it's still crazy, but not as
mechanical and crazy.
But just as extreme. I mean, just as much of a terrorist, really. And so I'm really hoping we get to see more of these characters in comics, in TV, in other movies, maybe. But it just sucks that we don't... I don't know.
Yeah.
It's tough, although I think what they were doing was a suicide mission. And I think
Suicide Squad.
One of the things that movies get wrong a lot in a mission like this is... the odds of any of those characters getting out alive are so slim. It's about time they succeed.
Yeah.
And knowing that those were the stakes are we don't get out alive.
Right.
And they don't.
No.
It actually, I felt, was a refreshing take on the suicide mission, you know.
Agreed.
Kind of film.
We went over your favorite character. Did you have a character that you thought didn't work or just had an aspect of them that you wished you wished they'd done differently? Anything like that?
Yeah. I can't remember the blind gentleman's name.
His name is Chirrut Imwe.
Right.
Donnie Yen.
Friend of the show. Dr. Love.
Yeah.
Said in a... Bulletin Board, the Molly and I are on, that she talked about how Asian guy playing Asian stereotype character kind of sucks.
Martial arts master who's one with the spirits.
Right, and it's like, you know, good to have him in, good to have the representation, good to have the character. You know, could they have done it better? Yeah.
Yeah.
And I felt caricature-y to me a little bit.
Yeah.
I was just like, I don't know. Well, it felt a little heavy-handed.
And friend of the show, Jeremy Stomberg, did on that same thread, was saying, like, you know, that's what you hire Donnie Yen to do.
Sure.
You don't hire Donnie Yen to not be the mystical-ish kind of Asian martial arts guy who has... Yeah. So I get that.
Yeah.
But her point was like, I wish the character had been Hispanic. I wish the character had been Black. It would... I mean, there's other ways they could have gone with that.
Totally.
Yeah. But I can see that.
And I liked the character. I just... It took me out of the movie a little bit when it was happening. So, you know...
I liked seeing a light side force user who wasn't a Jedi.
Or at least force sensitive. He's force sensitive,
I guess. He was very much into the I'm one with the force. And he walked through all that bullet fire.
Yeah.
If that wasn't channeling the force, I don't know, man.
That might not have... He might not have to control or be force sensitive to be a benefactor of the force.
That's fair.
Without him controlling it to do so.
Yeah, that's possible.
It flows through everything, Molly. Ugh. Even blaster fire.
Even sand.
So,
I hate sand. It's rough and it gets everywhere.
Gets everywhere.
Was it Bodhi Rook that was the pilot?
The kidnapped Imperial pilot who had the mind thing that didn't ever happen.
I like that character. Yeah, and that was the thing that bugged me a little bit about it. I like the character a lot, but the idea that they'd done the mind probe with a weird creature and it's like supposed to drive you insane. It seemed to knock him out of it for like 10 seconds.
Yeah. There's another thing that got cut. Yeah. I was reading all the stuff that got cut and reshot. It was a whole thing where that came back and he did kind of lose it and it was a problem.
That makes sense. You know what? Like, I like this guy. Let's keep him around. Let's not have him go insane or, you know, whatever it was.
Yeah, it was not a big thing, but it bugged me a little bit.
Yeah. So I thought I was really going to like Saw Gerrera because I love Forrest Whitaker and I was very excited. I did not like Saw Gerrera. I liked him in the past. I did not enjoy him in the future. In the present.
Yeah.
His weird blue velvet, fucking oxygen mask thing.
Where he would
suck on his weird nitrous tank and like
Pabst Blue Ribbon.
Exactly. And like his voice got weird and like I'm sure that was him trying to like demonstrate that he wasn't all man anymore, that he was part machine or whatever, but it was so weird. It felt like Christopher Lloyd in Who Framed Roger Rabbit when he reveals himself to talk just like this. Like, that's how it felt, where all of a sudden he was like, Saw Gerrera. It was weird.
Forrest Whitaker was playing a character that had already been established in animation in Clone Wars when...
With all the stuff?
No, he doesn't. He doesn't. Yeah. But the cadence of his voice, the accent, that sort of thing... Those are things that existed in that character before Forrest Whitaker played him.
Does he talk like that in Clone Wars? I haven't seen Clone Wars.
I mean, kind of.
Because he talks normal in Rebels from what we've seen so far.
It's still there. It's still there a bit.
It's the cadence doesn't bother me so much as that he was doing that high-pitched weird. It sounded like he was trying to sound like his voice was mechanical. I don't know. Yeah. It was weird. And all the stuff on him was weird.
I liked that his respirator made the same...
As Darth Vader's.
Vader's did?
Yeah. I liked that too. It was just weird that he kept sucking on it. It was drugs. Sure. That was weird. And I didn't understand it. They never explained
it. It's back to juice.
And like, I'm not usually one who needs a lot of exposition, but like, they just, it's such a weird thing to do and then never even like talk about. I don't know. That was my only like, thing.
All right.
I think that I thought the action was amazing, and a lot of people have been saying this was the movie they've been waiting for, you know, since...
The World War II fucking in the trenches.
Yeah. I like that we got to see...
it's a battle fucking movie.
Yeah. I like that we got to see a tropical planet.
Yeah.
That was pretty cool. Yeah. And that also... let's talk about the new ships.
U-Wing.
The U-Wing, which is the Rebel ship.
Yeah. I read a thing about the U-Wing.
Did you?
So... And you'll know more about this than I... You'll be able to fill in the details,
Molly.
Possibly. The company that makes X-Wings...
Yes.
And U-Wings. Patrick U-Wings. They at the end of the... At the end of the Republic, they made U-Wings.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Empire took over, and the Republic fell... And so they had this test batch of U-Wings that never went into full production that the Rebels managed to steal and get their hands on. But that's why we see U-Wings in Rogue One, but we don't see them in A New Hope, Empire, and Jedi. Because
they're all gone.
Because they had a handful of them, and they used them all on this suicide mission to storm the beaches and all that jazz. I thought, even if it's a coming back and covering their ass with an explanation after the fact, I love that they have that
Speaking
stuff.
Speaking of coming back and covering their asses, let me talk about my favorite thing about this movie. And yeah. we've talked about it. We've done a lot of negatives, and that's too bad, because I think overall this is a really solid movie.
Absolutely.
Totally agree.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
One of my favorite things about this movie is they just went in and they explained away all the bitching anybody watching Episode 4 has about the weakness in the Death Star by making it on purpose.
Agreed.
I just fucking love
That was really good.
I love that.
It also ups the stakes of Episode 4.
Well, and not only that, but it also it's perfect because it's exactly what the Empire would fucking do.
They would
find the best goddamn scientist or engineer in the galaxy. They would threaten him, and they would first try to give him money. They would next try to, you know, promise him a good life, and then when that didn't work, they would kill his wife and child and try to take him up by force. You know, like, that's exactly what they would, that's exactly what they do.
That's the Empire. And then, and then what he does is he comes up with a way to get them that they just don't suspect.
And realizing that it's inevitable.
Yep.
It's going to happen with or without him at this point.
I'm going to make this
happen.
And I have
to build it.
I have to build it. I will build it.
But and their own hubris is what is their undoing.
I will build it with a flaw.
One thing I really loved in a bunch of different ways, I really loved Darth Vader in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
I felt he was used sparingly. I felt even the little joke, the little choke on your aspirations.
Choke on your aspirations.
it wasn't.
We saw someone say, that was such an Anakin thing to say.
Right?
Because he's still kind of Anakin still. Yeah. You know?
The action scene and him as the movie ends and leads into Episode 4 was super great. But I feel like showing us Vader's castle.
Yeah.
On Mustafar is so it made the this whole movie made the transition from the prequels to the original movies so much easier for
me. It did. It really did.
Because if you want to emotionally manipulate Anakin Skywalker and keep him your bitch and keep him in check and keep him in the dark side, where do you put him? The volcanic separatist planet where his mentor and friend
cut off his legs.
Cut off his limbs and left him to die.
Yep.
Where he found out that his wife and children were dead.
Yep.
Where he lost everything and turned. What do? You keep him there and make him stew in it.
Yep, build him a castle.
Make him stew in the anger.
Yep.
Fucking keep him away from all of humanity and anything that might remind him that life is beautiful and that there's things worth fighting for.
Abso-fucking-lutely. It was.
I loved that so much.
Yeah. My
really good choice.
It was unspoken. Pure character development for Darth Vader, Anakin Skywalker.
That is a perfect lead into my absolute favorite moment in the whole movie, which was the Vader hallway scene.
Ugh.
Absolutely, hands down, it was great fight choreography.
Yeah.
It's hard to choreograph a fight, I mean, I'm imagining, with force and sabers, because versus blasters.
Versus
that's the thing, is like, it's and the way that Darth Vader was so casual. It reminded me a lot. It made me it's so funny. The first thought I had was, oh, if he could have seen Kylo Ren in that opening scene of Force Awakens, he would have been so proud. Because it was that same casual, so powerful that you're not even thinking about it. Just womp, womp, womp with the saber, and just while doing that casual flicking that just throws people bodily.
There's a conservation to all his movements.
Yes.
Where he
moved Gunkata.
He moved the saber and his arms for force choking and slamming as little as possible to have the greatest amount of impact.
Yeah, like the Catan in Kingkiller or something.
Sure,
like it was very much like it was almost like its own martial art of just slow, deliberate movement. That scene, I don't want to say the whole movie was worth it, the movie was garbage. The movie was amazing, but that scene for me was sploosh. I was so ready. I was so ready. It was so good. I just want to say real quick, you mentioned the U-Wing, X-Wing thing.
Yeah.
It is INCOM that makes the X-Wings and the Y-Wings, so it must have been INCOM that made the U-Wings.
I think so.
But So the TIE Striker, I thought, was a really cool... Because, you know, you've seen so many different variations of the TIE Fighter. We've got the Punisher and the Defender and the regular TIE. And now we have the Phantom. We have the...
TIE Advanced prototype.
We have the special... The new... we have the new one from the...
Interceptors. Force,
the Interceptors. And so to have a new TIE Fighter is always really cool to see. And I liked the Striker. I liked that it's designed to be an Atmo. So its whole purpose is to get in and fight there. Also, that tank was really dope.
Yeah.
The new big tank that they had. The AT-ACT.
Yeah.
Which is the new walker that was featured, and then Baz Bays with the rocket launcher. The rocket trooper was a sick. I don't know. There was a lot of good stuff.
A lot of good pew pew in this movie.
The whole armory was expanded really well without.
For no space battles.
You know, they showed troopers with the whatever 15 blasters from the prequels. Some of the troopers still were using the blasters that the clone troopers were using.
That's awesome.
In the prequels. That's a very awesome. And one of them casually mentions it in conversation.
I also like the fact that there were a lot of different worlds that we visited to really expand that universe from three or four different planets.
We liked that too.
it was just really, really nicely done.
Why the Death Star is a secret? Why no one knows about the Death Star?
Yeah.
They build it in secret over Geo, whatever the clone planet, the cloner's planet, Geonisis or whatever.
Geonisis.
And then they destroy Jedhaw and all that. Like I thought it was great.
Yeah.
Retcon. Not retcon, but fit in the little pieces.
Yeah, retcon, but filling in the blanks.
Addition, yeah.
It's not retconning. It all could have been there. They just don't tell you in New Hope.
Yeah, Gareth Edwards directed this, which I'm looking forward to seeing more. There's going to be a Han Solo Lando Calrissian movie where
Boba Fett movie. All three characters are in the Han Solo flashback movie.
Also Chewbacca.
With a Donald Glover playing Lando Calrissian, which is some of the best casting.
Sploosh.
Right?
That could work.
Drawing a toddler in my panties.
If you're not familiar with him from Community, Atlanta is super good.
Yeah, couldn't recommend Atlanta more. So before the show, just real quick, we were talking about, because I got confused and I couldn't remember if I thought J.J. Abrams had directed Force Awakens, which is what Gareth Edwards directed, right? No.
J.J. Abrams directed Force Awakens.
That's what I was fucking asking you guys before the show.
You said Rogue One.
I didn't say Rogue One. All right, I thought J.J. Abrams directed Force Awakens. God damn it.
And Gareth Edwards did Rogue One.
All right. So what we were talking about, though, is like if you could have another standalone movie.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys have an answer. I don't mean to spring it on you, but like if you can think of another character from the Star Wars universe you'd like to see a standalone movie.
How Salacious Crumb got his groove back. as a buddy comedy directed
by Nora Ephron.
By the 21 Jump Street or Superbad.
All right.
Yeah. No, I don't want that.
Yeah, I thought an honest answer. I think it'd be really great to see a movie about teenage rebel Leia, where Bail Organa has gotten her into the rebellion, because by all accounts he got her into it when she was still just a young teenager.
Yeah.
Started getting her politically active. Directed by Joss Whedon, because he can do a good ensemble with a strong female protagonist, as we know. Tim, do you have a character that you wish could get their own standalone?
I want Obi-Wan Kenobi to get his own standalone.
I want
a story that happens between Episode 3 and Episode 4.
It's called The Clone Wars.
Well, I haven't watched The Clone Wars. No, you mean Rebels?
No, Clone Wars.
Yeah.
Clone Wars.
The cartoon, Clone Wars. Oh, no, that's between Episode
that's
2
between
and 3.
That's between 2 and 3.
No, I want to see... I want there to be more to that story of Obi-Wan and how he's working behind the scenes to help the rebellion even in exile.
In the new Marvel Star Wars comics, which are great by the way, the Darth Vader trade we got for Christmas, super fucking good. In the Star Wars comics, they take one issue every storyline and devote it to young Obi-Wan on Tatooine in exile. And so you get these little one-shot filler vignettes about Obi-Wan in the desert who is in hiding but can't really stop being Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Right.
And so, like, no matter how much he's in hiding, he also is a Jedi and kind of a troublemaker. And so he's doing good there still in the background.
I can see that. They got to get on that because, you know, Ewan McGregor's like older every day.
He's in hiding, but it's not like he takes off the Jedi robes.
Does he have other clothes?
Yeah, I think so.
The Jedi robes, which weren't originally Jedi robes because Uncle Beru and were wearing them too, but they kind of fixed that in Rogue One with having Jyn Erso's mom wearing them, and now they're just saying, well, that's anyone who's dedicated to the religion of the Jedi, that's their traditional religious attire.
Well, that's convenient. It works good.
It's like their
hijab, kind of. Well, that's good. We loved Rogue One. We'd love to hear what you guys thought about it.
I got one question before we go.
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, so this is based on talking to my son, Devin, about, because he wanted to know how I ranked the Star Wars films in terms of
a good question.
Best to worst. And I'm not going to give
all
his ranking.
All five of them.
I'm not going to give his ranking. I'm just going to say that I was highly amused by the fact that at the bottom of the list were episodes 2 and 3, which he has not seen. And we've tried, because he wants to watch them.
Yeah.
And we, like, tried to get him for Christmas for a couple of years ago, and you couldn't fucking get him.
Yeah.
It's finding episodes 2 and 3 that pain in the ass. So anyway, they were at the bottom of his list, even though he's not seen them.
That's very funny.
Yeah.
So
it's like he's prescient.
He wanted to know my list. And I imagine our order will be similar. But for me, definitely episode 5 is best.
Yeah.
I think it's the strongest film. And then I think it's New Hope. And I think part of that is just, it's the first Star Wars film.
Sure.
And it's nostalgia. Then I'm probably going to say Rogue One. I think it's that strong. I think it's a really excellent film. And then I think I'm going to say The Force Awakens. Then I'm going to say Episode 6. And then I'm going to say Episode 2, because I love everything with Obi-Wan Kenobi in that movie. And then Episode 1 and Episode 3, because I think Episode 3 is pretty much just complete garbage. So
I think 1 is way worse than...
I was going to say...
1 has the fucking Gungan droid fight.
But part of this is nostalgia, because 1 was the first Star Wars film you had in 30 years. And I just remember that experience. But anyway, so... There we go. That's my order.
My order is Force Awakens.
All right.
Empire Strikes Back.
Uh-huh.
A New Hope.
Uh-huh.
Return of the Jedi.
Uh-huh.
Rogue One. Revenge of the Sith. The second one. The Clone Wars.
Yeah.
And then, and then whatever the fuck the first one's called. Phantom Menace.
Phantom Menace.
So, I'll say Empire.
Yep.
Force Awakens.
Mm-hmm.
New Hope. Rogue One... Jedi. Maybe Jedi Rogue One. I don't know. Ewoks, man.
That's a good point. Yeah, my Jedi and Rogue One are basically tied.
Yeah. And then Clone Wars was 2, right? Mm-hmm. Then
Attack of the Clones.
Then 3, because, Darth Vader's birth will trump Gungan fucking throwing globes at people every day.
Man, you like Attack of the Clones more than Revenge of the Sith. To me, that's a big one, because I like Attack of the Clones, okay.
No, 3-2-1.
Yeah, 3-2-1 to me is the order.
Because it has Order 66 and the younglings and the massacre of the sand people and all the important Vader shit happens in 3.
Massacre
so 3-2-1.
Massacre of the sand people happens in 2.
Does it?
Yeah.
All right. Nice turn.
Now I need a supercut of just the good parts. It'll be less than one movie long.
Very short.
Do you mind if I...
Yeah,
one thing
what do you got?
So, okay. Dope Easter eggs in Rogue One.
Oh, yeah.
Right? If you watch Rebels,
it's good.
So the Ghost, their primary ship, is when they arrive at the planet, the tropical planet.
Yeah.
And they have the barricade and they're downing the shield and all that shit.
When the Rebel fleet arrives.
When the Rebel fleet arrives, the Ghost arrives with them.
Yeah.
And that's dope. You see Chopper or...
You see a droid that looks exactly like Chopper.
With a mismatched leg. in the Rebel base, General Syndulla is paged over the
she's
intercom.
She's just a captain in Rebels.
She's a captain in Rebels, yeah.
That's exciting. People are like, maybe it's her father. I'm like, it's not.
Something that's been around since the very first drafts of Star Wars movies that has never been mentioned in the movies, the Guardians of the Wills were mentioned in this movie.
Isn't that what Chirrut?
No.
Is?
The Guardians of the Wills are... Will W-H-I-L-L, Wills. Yeah.
Okay.
It's the Journal of the Guardians of the Wills is the writings that Star Wars are taken from. Kind of a Lord of the Ringsy type thing.
It's their Cimmerillion.
Red 5.
Oh, yeah, the Red 5 thing was cool.
Red 5 getting shot.
Red 5 and he dies because Luke's the new Red 5. Gotta need a new Red 5.
The female pilots that were shot for New Hope that never got used.
Yeah.
They used that unused footage and CGI'd them into the cockpits of ships so that those actors can be in a Star Wars movie.
Nice.
And they have the actual actors. That's dope.
That was very cool.
Ponda, Baba, and Dr. Avizan. Hogface and Arm Dude from the cantina.
He doesn't like you.
Yeah. Blue Milk.
Yep.
Everybody loves Blue Milk.
Blue Milk.
That was good.
And one thing we haven't talked about yet is that there was no Krall.
Yes, there was no Krall. And I do have to say, because I've seen people bitch about that, and I'm like, I thought that was fine.
It's perfect. There shouldn't be a Krall. It's not an episode.
It's not damn right.
And it shouldn't
damn
have that.
Damn right.
Nope. Like, none of that. None of that.
That's for episodes. That's for saga movies.
I think digging the movie for no Krall is...
You don't get it.
It's just stupid.
It differentiates it from the rest, and that's necessary.
This is a tale that you could never see Rogue One, and all of the other Star Wars movies should still make sense to you.
It's not Star Wars episode blank. It's blank a Star Wars story.
Yep, absolutely. Surprising no one because Lucas has always been the master of. Licensing minutiae, it shouldn't surprise anyone that they found a way to differentiate what this is versus that because he's very good at that. Very good at that.
Yeah.
Awesome. Rogue One was amazing. Go see it if you haven't seen it yet. I don't know why you're still listening.
Yeah.
We basically just showed you the movie.
By the way, all the characters die.
Yeah.
All of them.
Yeah. K2SO, who isn't technically alive.
Yeah, yeah. It's true. And
if you ever want to fucking cry because a droid dies, this movie will do it to you.
Yeah.
I really think it might.
That battery's not included.
I will say, oh my God. I will say, this movie didn't make me cry at all, which maybe because it's a war movie, and whenever it's a war movie, I'm inured and I know people are going to die.
Oh.
But Force Awakens, I cried 3 times and I still cried those same 3 times every time I watch it.
I'm glad we had an ugly war movie because there's a lot of war in Star Wars and war is ugly.
The K2, I don't know, K2 got me because it's just like.
It is time for five questions.
Five questions. Who do we have, Molly?
We have 5 questions from Jordan Chronic.
Oh, I know her.
Yeah, she lives in Portland, and she has said that she sent in her answers many years ago to our first round, and so she has decided to send in her next round of questions.
Well, thank you, Jordan.
Yeah. Jordan is technically like one of my 2 oldest friends.
Yeah.
I've known Jordan since I was like 13.
I actually know Nick because I knew Jordan.
So Jordan, you're apparently super old, according to
me. We're the same age.
That's what I heard.
She's not that old.
Actually, Jordan's older than me.
Yeah, she's a little older.
She's not as old as I am. But anyway.
She's not as old as you are. You're fucking old.
I'm fucking aged. So question number one. Jordan, will you please tell us what's the movie that you'll stop and watch anytime it's on?
The Devil Wears Prada.
Oh, there you go.
This movie was a kind of perfect confluence of Meryl Streep, Anne Hathaway, and Stanley Tucci for me. 3 of my favorite people to find in a movie. My one reservation with this answer is that when rewatching it, I often skip the sappy ending. I'm not in it for her hard-learned lesson about Andy staying true to herself. It's really more about the outfits.
Yeah.
Outfits!
also, Emily Blunt's in that.
Emily Blunt is great in that.
I mentioned it before. I love the scene where she's talking about, do you know why that color is important?
Do you know why you're wearing that blue sweater?
Do you know why you're wearing that blue sweater? I fucking love that.
It's a great movie.
I'll listen to anyone talk in incredible detail about something that they're super knowledgeable about.
The Devil Wears Prada is an amazing book. It is a satire of Anna Wintour. And so it is very good. Yeah. And they did a good job with the movie. So if you don't want to read, the movie's a good version.
Question 2, what is your geekiest or most prized possession?
My cheap, manipulative answer for this is that it's the pictures of myself as Spider Jerusalem. Having gotten Warren Ellis's positive comments on them after that fact was amazing.
Oh, yeah.
Eternal thanks to my filthy assistants, that's me, who helped put that costume together.
I made the glasses.
Yep. Nick made the glasses, and she and I, she was Spider Jerusalem, and I was the filthy assistant with the dark hair. It was Yelena. And so it was a good costume. It's pretty great.
Originally, I had cut glass pieces to make, colored glass pieces to make the, because one's square and one's rectangular, one's red, colors, one's green, and the glasses fell apart, and so I ended up painting some transparency plastic.
And it worked out. We drew her tattoos with a Sharpie.
Yeah.
It was a fun convergence.
Well done. Okay, so question number 3. What supernatural or all-powerful being do you wish was real?
I had a lot of trouble answering this, because I dislike the idea of not understanding anything. Any sufficiently supernatural entity being revealed in the world would constitute an unsolvable riddle, so I guess my answer would be a jackalope.
Yeah!
Casting a sudden truth over one of the most well-known hoaxes in American folklore would be good for a laugh, if nothing else.
That's a great answer.
Yeah, I like jackalope.
Yeah. Question 4. Say religion is gone. What is the biggest problem humanity now faces?
It seems to me that there's just too many problems looking for easy answers, and that if those people were suddenly unable to practice religion as a balm to their own ignorance, they'd simply gravitate toward the next best thing: fascist dictators and celebrities. Hey, or in the case of our president,
both
the same. Even if the message changed, the same manipulation would happen to a similar end.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
All right. And question number 5. What is your favorite quote?
It's only after we've lost everything that we're free to do anything. Tyler Durden, Fight Club.
Mm-hmm.
I've got dozens of favorite quotations that I spout off for the sake of cleverness, but this one usually stays with me. In the past decade, my personality has shifted significantly away from things like desire, anger, and fear. People often question the source of my calm, and I think this quote sums up my answer as eloquently as any line could.
Hmm.
There's a level of focus that can only be accessed after touching that place of nothingness and complete surrender. Once you've found it, you can bring it back with you for the rest of your life. Bonus round question update.
What?
4 years ago, I told Geeks Without God about my favorite sandwich, but it's been supplanted.
No!
My new favorite is a cream cheese Reuben. Simply put, a Reuben on sourdough with cream cheese standing in for the Thousand Island dressing.
Mm-hmm.
I recommend it to anyone and everyone.
Standing in for?
I don't know.
I don't know about standing in for. In addition to, I'm on board. Standing in for.
Well, you can try it both ways and see which way is better. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the thing.
You can try it both ways. I think we need to have sandwiches for science. That's just the way of the world.
I think you have to. Yeah, just to try it. To know. You have to know.
Yes.
To know. How do we not know? How else would we know? I don't know. I'm going to say no a few more times.
Thank
you so much, Jordan. We really appreciate that you wrote in with your 5 answers. If you want to write in with your 5 answers,
that's you.
Because right now, without Jordan's, I am looking at, I currently have 3 in the hopper.
Whoa.
3. That's
Dang.
It. So, now is the time. Strike while the iron is hot. When we run out, I don't know what's going to happen. God might become real.
You don't want that to happen.
There's no God. If you really want to support our show in any way you can, obviously sharing what we post on Facebook, things like that, sharing the links to your friends, tell your friends about us. But more specifically, you can support us on Patreon. God damn it, Tim. Patreon. And go to patreon.com. Or go to our Facebook page. It's the pinned post at the top of our Facebook page. And if you just give us a little bit of money every month, you can get your name read online. You are online on air. You also get access to episodes like this one the night that we record it. So really, you would have been able to hear this weeks ago. And it's instead, true. You're listening to it now like some kind of sucker. Love you. Please keep listening to our show.
More of a sucker, but not an entire sucker.
Not like some religious
sucker. A sucker we like.
A person
with sucker-like qualities.
Exactly.
Anyone want to borrow the shovel?
Yes. My hole is nice and deep. God damn it.
God damn it.
You know what? I'm just going to go. Thanks. We've been Geek Stuck. Goodbye.
Bye.
Why are you wearing that? It's a medallion, isn't it? I'm Medal.
We're geeks. We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks. Geeks Without God.
Need more Geeks Without God? Go to our website, read our blog posts, find us on Facebook, or follow us on Twitter at Geeks Without God. Social media!
We're geeks,
we're geeks,
we're geeks without God.
We're geeks,
we're geeks,
we're geeks without God.
We're geeks, geeks without God.
Martha!
Martha!